did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again, radio. I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and welcome once again to Yesteryear. On today's program, we feature The Red Skeleton Show with Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. But first, fed up with the everyday grind? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape. That's right. Escape aired from July of 1947 through September of 1954 and was heard in 18 different time slots during its 7-year run. Considered radio's greatest series of high adventure, Escape originated from the CBS studios in Los Angeles. It featured the voice of William Conrad of Gunsmoke fame, Paul Frees, later the voice of Boris Badenov on Rocky and Bullwinkle, and that also of Lou Kergman, frequently doubling in dramatic roles. As an unsponsored sustainer, Escape was unable to afford the high-priced stars favored by Suspense, although Hollywood star Vincent Price made several appearances on the show, including standout performances such as the one we'll hear today. This time around, we escape into the mind of a man who's been sentenced to die, a man who attempts to refuse the bitter fate society has imposed upon him, present tense, from January of 1950, starring Vincent Price on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape! Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Tonight, we escape into the mind of a man who has been sentenced to die. A man who attempts to refuse the bitter fate society has imposed upon him. As James Poe tells it in his seething tale of violent death, present tense, starring Vincent Price.
The dim pain, the cold, dark land wheels away, and the hills beyond, below the stars, are black and sharp. Dead hills, dark sky. Cold steel below my feet, cold as the face of the officer at my side, cold as the cuffs which link my arm to his, which join us on this journey to the prison where I die.
Want a cigarette?
No.
Go on, take one.
No, I don't use them.
Oh.
Has this happened to you before?
What?
Being handcuffed to a murderer. Has it happened to you before?
Sure, plenty of times.
To an axe murderer?
Yeah, there's nothing special, brother. Lots of guys axe their wives. Lots of them.
I could have escaped after it happened, but I didn't, and now it's too late. 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 Ever too late. Never too late. Too late. Too late. Escape. Escape. If the train were to be wrecked, if the detective were to be killed. Late. Late. The sweet escape. The light escape. The crash escape.
No! Oh, no! 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 The darkness. Where am I? The cars must have gone down the gully. No lights and those people in pain. This thing fastened to my wrist went halfway through the glass of the door. Keep back from his blood. I don't seem to be hurt. No broken bones. Escape. Now the key in his pocket, his bloody pocket, and the cuffs are off. His gun and the wallet. His face. His face is gone. His own mother wouldn't know him. I'm free. Fire. Fuel oil. I must get away. Here, my ring onto his finger. There, that completes it.
Number 63 from Bakersfield now arriving. Please claim your luggage, Mr. Kerr.
I see, mister.
Yes.
Where to?
Up Beverly Glen, above Sunset. I'll show you where.
Gotcha. Read about the big train wreck?
Yes. Understand almost 100 were killed. Here you are. Keep the change.
Thanks.
My home. It looks so small, so shabby. No one took care of it during the trial. No one cared. No one. No one cares now, but that's good. I like that. I'll be alone, and I won't let the neighbors see me, and I'll sleep and figure out where I go next. The light. Someone's in there. No, it can't be. She's dead. I know she's dead.
Want another bottle of beer, honey? Huh?
Yeah, sure. It's cold. Relax just a little bit.
I see them now. It is she. How did they do it? How did they trick me into imagining the murder? I am innocent. Pig. Grip the cleaver and walk like a feather. He shall be soft, white neck.
Honest, I hear something.
What's the matter, sweet niece? What's the matter?
You killed him!
Yes. And now you.
No!
I was innocent. And I thought myself guilty, and now I am truly guilty, and never in my life have I felt so innocent. Like a dream, like a nightmare, the confession, the conviction, the sentence, and now... Once more, dark night, cold steel, the sound of wheels, just as I lived it before. Why, even the cold face of the silent officer at my side, hard, cold face, so much like that other face.
Want a cigarette?
No.
Go on, take one.
No, I don't use them.
Oh.
Has this happened to you before?
What?
Being handcuffed to a murderer. Has it happened to you before?
Well, sure, plenty of times.
To an axe murderer?
Yeah, you're nothing special, brother. Lots of guys axe their wives. Lots of them.
Were you ever cuffed to an axe murderer who killed two people at once?
What are you talking about?
My sin, my crime, what I did, I killed them both.
Slam. Take it easy, brother. They only kill your wife. Just her, just one, that's all.
Been raining for some days now, and beyond the barred window, the leaden sky bleeds sorrow on the barren land, the lonely land, the land beyond the prison wall. The sky was blue when first I came here, blue, so blue, and now it has become as the walls of my cell, of all our
dark, cheerless cells, these lifeless cells, these cells of men who wait to die. That wet sky, gray sky, cheerless sky. But it is beautiful. I have 12 hours left of life, 12 hours left to live. Beautiful sky, beautiful, beautiful, wet and fresh and alive. Oh, rather would I spend eternity at a well's bottom with but one patch of that to gaze upon than leave this life, than leave this earth, then leave this sky. But leave it I must. The guard told me no man has ever escaped San Quentin's death row. Blocks and bars, guards and guns lie between me and the world beyond. No escape, not from here. But wouldn't it be nobler to gamble my life in bold attempt than lay it down in reckless resignation, eh? So, now to get out of this super guarded area.
Oh! Oh, God! God!
Hey, oh! Hey, pipe down, cut it out.
Oh, what's wrong? What's the matter with you?
My gut! Here! It's killing me!
Your gut, huh? I'll call a medic.
Now, as I press you, tell me where it hurts.
Everywhere in hell. Oh! All over down here. There. Oh, don't touch that place again.
Call the ambulance.
Right.
This man's got appendicitis.
Do something.
Well, what do I do? Why didn't they send somebody with you?
The interns are all tied up. They're giving shots today.
Well, he's acting kind of crazy. Let's get him over to the hospital block. Now, hurry.
I can't drive any faster. My windshield steamed up.
So wipe it.
You got a rag?
Yeah, here. You could use my handkerchief.
Okay, pal. Give him the handkerchief.
Oh, my gun!
What the?
Keep right on driving through the gate, or the top of your head comes off.
You won't get away with this!
I will. I'm betting my life that I will. How far back is the prison?
About 15 miles. At least that.
Okay, pull over. I'm taking her from here. And you two. I want your money, your clothes. Then you can walk back and explain about me.
Explain about him.
They won't find the ambulance for days. Not at the bottom of that canyon. Now I cross the border on foot and into Mexico.
Your drink, senor.
Oh, thank you. When does the next bus leave for Mexico City?
At 12 o'clock, senor.
A little card, bought in a back room with no questions asked, and I become a tourist. 4 days' growth of beard, and I become poor. An empty suitcase with a butterfly net strapped to its outside, and I become a source of amusement. A funny, dumb gringo. And who looks with suspicion on the funny, dumb gringo tourist who is poor? Mexico City is beautiful, but not when you are hungry. Not when you are an American who is hungry. Americans aren't supposed to be hungry. What can I do? All I know is writing, the writing of poetry. There is one place I might sell some poems. Pollen. His magazine prints some English stuff. Perhaps... Well, why not? I have 3 pesos left. Buy some paper, a pencil, sit in the park, write, and storm the bastion.
That's a scoot here.
Do you like them, Mr. Pollen?
Well, excuse me. Lucida... I have some poems here.
Oh, let me see. The river doubled, dreaming troubled, fester passion of my soul. Ah, muy bueno.
Yeah, that is just what I thought.
You are too kind.
The poet should read his own work.
that drips sweet droplets. Passion's goblets, fate's thy role.
A Lucita likes your stuff.
A rare woman.
And I like what Lucita likes.
Uh-huh.
She says we do a book of your stuff.
Oh?
So here's an advance.
Too much.
Take it.
When the book.
That it is.
Right.
Got the poem?
I'll get them.
Your name is?
Smith.
No good to dull.
So true.
I'll make a new one.
Please do.
And so?
Good day, and I'll be back.
In 30 days.
With the poem. America. Miles below, the bleak brown mountains, the desert yellow and red. My own, my native land. My advance money went for new clothing and a round-trip plane ticket to Los Angeles and my new lease on life. In a small file under the eaves of the little house in Beverly Glen, there are poems, more than 1,000 of them, poems which no one has ever seen, poems written in the evenings after work on Sundays. And now, with the beard and the hat and the glasses, no one will recognize me. A cane. I ought to carry a cane, too. Get the poem. Does someone live there in the house? If someone bought it, no matter. Get the poems and then get back to Mexico City. Someone is living here. I wonder who. The hedge is trimmed. And my hammock. Someone's put on a new canvas cover.
Yeah?
Oh, no, 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 can't be.
Well, what do you want?
Her face, it's Mary, but I thought I killed her.
Who is it, baby? Well, what is it, mister? What do you want here?
Are you the lady of the house?
Huh? Who's out at the door? Some creep with a beard. Yeah, I'm the lady of the house, but I don't want to buy anything.
Well, what is it, Santa Claus? What do you want?
Are you the man of the house?
Yeah, I'm the man of the house. That's sweet means.
I'll say.
So what of it?
I'm making a survey. I'd like to ask a few questions. May I come in?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, let him. What's the difference?
Thank you. First, your name.
Name?
Yes, please.
Fred Sneed.
Hey, where's he going? Mister, what do you want in my kitchen?
The cleaver, Mary. Don't you know me?
Mary. Hey, who are you, mister?
Look close, Mary.
The cleaver. Put it down.
Know me? Know the man you tricked into San Quentin?
No, don't. Put down that...
You killed him!
Yes, Mary. Yes.
No!
Confession, conviction, sentence, transportation, and... Oh, again, the death cell as before. But when I came here, they promised I could keep the beard. They promised I could keep the beard. And it's gone. Gone. I can't remember when. What's that? Who's coming?
Ready?
Ready.
It's time to go, my son.
Time to go.
You've refused my help up to now. But perhaps you'd like to walk with me.
Rather beside you, Padre, than beside one of these mercenaries. My legs. The muscles quiver, not with fear, no, but with the desire to feel themselves moving, straining, acting, while yet there is time. I'm not afraid, but this body... I hate the thought of its being killed by these men. My beautiful body, soon it will be dead, cold, rotting, dead. It will rot. No, they must not do this to me.
You must be brave, my son.
My body. Years I spent with the great corporeal master, the yogi, learning my bodily purpose, my bodily care, the use of willpower to control my body. The yogi, my teacher, yes, I shall use yoga. Suspend my breathing and become invulnerable to their gas. Suspend my body functions to the point of death and fool their doctor, of course. Oh, yes, the greatest escape of them all, and this time I must succeed.
All right, here we are.
The room is so small. Somehow I had imagined it would be larger. And here is the chair. Yes, straps, hood.
All right, now just sit down.
And over there, the glass.
Take it easy.
Small pane with the dark faces seen dimly through. The witnesses.
Now lay your arms along these.
The whole room is like some strange sort of time machine. Yeah. Machine for launching a man into another dimension. So true.
Yeah.
I'd best begin to prepare myself.
Relax.
Relax. Must relax. It won't be easy.
Have you any last words, my son?
Yes, one request. Do not allow my poor body to be dissected or embalmed, but on the third day after my death, cremate it.
That will be arranged as you desire.
Thank you.
God be with you, my son. Remember what Christ said to the two criminals. In this day shalt thou be with me in heaven.
Now move your head forward a little. All right, put the hood down. Now when you hear the pellets drop into the acid, don't try any tricks. Just breathe deeply, see? Fumes don't hurt, see? You just cooperate with us. Make it easy on yourself, pal. You know what I mean?
Dark here under the hood. Now, the last breath, as the yogi taught me. And the lungs hold it. Body limp, all muscles, tendons, joints. Relax, all slow, the bloodstream, lock the breath. Hold, hold. Slow, slow. Hold. Suspend all bodily functions. Hold. Fix the eye in suspended animation. Gently fix the mind on time. Ease the beating of my heart. Time as a picture on the screen of my mind. Slower. Slower. My perception is slower. The time seems to spin by now. Go slow, my heart. The ventilators go on, clearing the air of the poisonous fumes. Now the doctor will come with his stethoscope. I will my limbs to stiffness, my flesh to coldness.
All right, it's clear, doctor. You can go on in.
Now, let's see now. Respiration ceased. Heart stopped. By the authority vested in me by the state of California, I pronounce this man dead.
I will myself to consciousness in 6 hours' time. Where am I? It's dark here and cold, so cold. I must get up and see. Oh, the prison morgue. It worked. But I'm cold, so cold. What's this on my toe? Tag. Too dark to read it, but I know what it says. It has my name, prison number, time of execution, yes. Now to look around. Because the next step must be played just right. And this should be it. A coffin crate ready for shipping. Some cadaver being returned to a sentimental family. Well, that ought to be just right. With him on my slab, my tag on his toe, and the most perfect escape of all time underway, here we go. I will my body to return from its state of suspended animation and to come immediately out of trance when next this coffin shall be opened.
Doctor,
Hello, old man. Funeral parlor. Poor fellow. Must have a bad heart. Let's see. No, it's going. Well, let's hope he's out for a while. This must be the workroom. Light hanging over the work table, and there, a locker. Ah, with a suit. Fine. And here in the desk, might there not be some sort of... Yes, here, a petty cash box. And it's quite full. The old boy apparently doesn't believe in banks. And now that Lazarus has returned from the dead, this newspaper, Dateline, I was executed 4 days ago. Now I find myself resurrected in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Los Angeles, California, this is Los Angeles. You can claim your baggage in the station or on the platform.
I return to my home. Beautiful time to return home. My old hammock is there, and my flowers, my yard. Oh, the house is empty. The lawyer said he had it cleaned up. Books, my pictures. Here's my old pipe. I haven't smoked it in years. Mary didn't like it. But now she's gone. I don't hate her anymore. Tobacco's still fairly fresh. Fill the pipe. There's that detective story I never got to finish. Now I'll have time. Now I'll have lots of time. Time to smoke and read and write and rest. Wonderful time to get outside. Cool, sweet air. Wonder what kind of birds those are. My hammock. Oh, it's so nice. Light the pipe. And, relax. Wish I could remember what page I was on, but no matter. I can begin again. I've got all the time in the world. The rest of my life. Birds. The sun is slipping out of sight. Death of the sun. I read the sky. How soft those clouds. So lovely, so lovely. What's that? Birds playing in the fish pond. Look at them. Happy birds. That hissing. The neighbor is turning on his lawn sprinkling system. Lie here and smell the cool air. Evening coming on, sky grows darker. Lie in the gathering twilight. Death of the day, birth of the night. Sweet softness of the summer night coming. Soon the star. Oh, it's lovely, heavenly, just like heaven. Lie.
By the authority vested in me by the state of California, I pronounce this man dead.
From November of 1950, it's been Escape, featuring Vincent Price. Coming up in just a moment, it's the Red Skeleton Show with Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard as special guest stars. We'll be back with more of Yesteryear right after this.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Thanks, Dave. Well, next, we feature the comedic stylings of Red Skeleton with The Red Skeleton Show from October of 1941. The Skeleton Show aired on NBC Radio from October of 41 through May of 1953 after years as a fixture on Cincinnati's powerhouse WLW. Skeleton, the son of a circus clown, was voted the outstanding new radio star of the year, and his network show quickly became one of radio's top-rated programs. Bandleader Ozzie Nelson and vocalist Harriet Hilliard first demonstrated their comedic talents on Red's broadcast well before starring in their own long-running series, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. From October of 1941, it's The Red Skeleton Show on Yesteryear.
Cigarette with the best tobacco blend, and you have the best cigarette. And now, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's newest star and the star of our program, Red Skelton.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bundles for Skelton program. It's really swell being here tonight, Brad. You know, it's just like a big Hollywood opening.
Yeah, Red, what a crowd in front of the studio.
Yeah, you know, Truman, coming through that crowd, I didn't think anybody would recognize me.
No?
But suddenly someone yelled, "Red Skelton's in the crowd." And they all turned around and looked at me. Gee, I was so embarrassed. I was sorry I yelled.
Say, Skelton, you know, I've never worked with you before.
No.
Tell me, are you a pretty good comedian?
Well, I don't know, but I'm the best they could get for 36 coupons. But you know, our sponsor there is really a swell fella, and what a swell sense of humor he's got. No kidding. Last night I was with him. He would tell a joke and I'd laugh. Then I'd tell a joke. Then he'd tell a joke and I'd laugh. Oh, by the way, Truman, I have a message here. It's a phone call for you. It's from the man from the automobile finance company.
Oh, really, Red? Tell me, what do you want?
I don't know. He just said, "We give up. Where is it?"
Say, gee, you don't think they'll take my car away, do you?
No, finance companies don't take your car away anymore.
They don't?
No, they just go over to your garage and melt it down right there.
Hello, Red.
Well, Harriet Hilliard. Gee, you look pretty tonight.
Thank you. You look clean yourself.
Thanks. Oh, you really look nice, though.
You like my new open-toed shoes?
Oh, is that what they are?
Well, what did you think?
Well, I didn't know whether your toes were creeping or your shoes were backing up.
I can see you don't know anything about women's clothes.
Well, no, I don't. But maybe there's something you could tell me. Why do all the women wear slacks out here? You know, my girl doesn't wear them.
Why not?
She isn't fat enough. But, Harriet, I want to tell you right here in front of everyone that we're really happy that you're part of our show.
Oh, thanks, Red. Thanks, too, for the flowers you sent me. Mm. Oh, they're beautiful. Oh. Both of them.
Oh, like, hello, folks. Oh, Ozzie Nelson. Hey. Well, Ozzie, I'll say the same thing to you. It's really swell having you on our program.
Well, thank you very much, Red, and it's swell being on your program. After all, money isn't everything.
No, it isn't. Oh, say, by the way, I want you to meet Harriet Hilliard.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, darling.
Oh, you two know each other, huh?
No, but why waste time?
Oh, a case of love at first sight, maybe.
Well, don't you believe in love at first sight?
Yes, ever since conscription.
By the way, Harriet, I bought you a present.
Uh-oh, the wolf is starting to prowl.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm not a wolf.
Oh, no? Then how come every time you meet a pretty girl, you say, "Hello"? No, Ozzie, presents are not going to do you any good because I have a few things planned tonight after the program.
Oh, yeah? Well, so have we. Come on, Harriet.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't take Harriet away. You just met her.
Oh, that's where you're wrong, Red. I've known Ozzie for years.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. We've been great friends.
Oh. Anybody want to shoot a little pool after the program?
One of our great American traditions is that of telling your hostess you've had a wonderful time whether you have or have not. We introduce two young people who've just spent a miserable evening, and here they are.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye now. We've spent a most enjoyable night.
Your husband's so cute when he's tight.
Yes. Well, goodbye.
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 Goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
We think your house is just the last word.
And your brother's jokes, the funniest I've heard. Really, I thought I'd die. Well, goodbye.
We've really spent a lovely evening.
Yes, the dinner was especially fine.
And those movies of the children, delightful.
And wherever did you find that delicious wine?
Goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
We hate to leave our hostess and host. But as they say in France, adios.
And so goodbye.
Goodbye now.
That was what they really did say. But here's what they would have said if they'd only told the truth.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
And though I know this is impolite, I spent a most unhappy night.
So did I. Goodbye.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
We'd like to file a last complaint.
Yeah, don't think this ain't been charming, because it ain't. Well, goodbye.
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 Your Uncle Charlie's corny card tricks, we didn't find amusing a bit. We've spent a most delightful evening, but we'll have to admit that this wasn't it. Goodbye now.
Goodbye now. And though we never forget a face, we'll make exceptions in your case. And so goodbye.
Goodbye now.
That was Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard singing the new tax song dedicated to the American dollar entitled Goodbye Now. Oh, Harriet, don't go away. I wanted to ask you something.
Sure, Red. What do you want?
Well, I saw you talking to one of the studio police a few minutes ago. Now, not that I mind, but I'd like to know just how I stand. Is he one of your boyfriends, too?
Oh, no. He's just an old friend of the family.
Oh.
And I was so glad to see him that I just walked right up to him and gave him a great big hug.
Oh, taking the law in your own hands, huh? I'm kidding. You know, isn't it funny how everybody kids about the police? But did you ever stop and figure out the things that the police have to go through?
Oh, they really have a tough job.
You know, Harriet, I'd like to try and show the different type of police that we have and really what they have to go through. First, we'll start with a mounted policeman. I'll be the mounted police. Whoa! That horse must have had on rubber shoes. Say, pull over there, fella. What's the idea of weaving down the middle of the road? Why don't you stay in your own lane?
Excuse it, please, officer. I'm not wanting to dirty the white lines.
Well, I'll have to write you out a ticket. What's your name?
Stanislaus Bogoslavich Rizdzik. Nyah.
Pass, friend. Then we have a bashful policeman. This fellow patrols Lover's Lane, and every time he gets around the parked cars, he gets very shy, very bashful. One of these type of guys. Well, there's a parked car. I'll sneak up and listen to what they're saying.
Isn't it a beautiful night, darling?
Oh, yes, sweetheart.
Pardon me, fella.
Your lips are like petals.
Yeah, bicycle petals. Pardon me, fella.
Someday you'll be the greatest band leader in all the world.
And then I'll make $10,000 a week, and then we can get married.
Yeah. $10,000 a week? Ah, that's youth. Willing to sacrifice everything and just struggle along. $10,000 a week. The only guy that ever got $10,000 a week for leading a band was Jesse James. uh, If you'll pardon me, fella.
Will you always love me?
You know I will.
Will you call me your Harriet?
Will you call me your Ozzy?
Will somebody call me when this is over? Say, Ozzy, don't you see me standing here?
Yeah, don't you see me ignoring you?
Yeah.
Oh, where can we go to be alone?
Well, why don't you get yourself a couple of parachutes and try Devil's Tower? Then we have the tough police. I once knew a fellow that was a policeman that was really tough, but he was a nice fella. Even when he was giving out a ticket until one of those backseat drivers come along. This time, Ozzy, you drive the car. I'll play the part of the backseat driver.
Come on, pull over to the curb.
Why? Ain't we drunk enough to drive?
Now, take it easy, Red. This cop looks tough.
Come on, you just run through a light. Where are you going, to a fire?
Yeah, we're going to go start one.
Oh, awesomeness, huh?
Yes, and we'll vote for him the next time, too.
Come on, let's see your license.
Well, he hasn't got a license, officer. He's my buddy, you see. I'm teaching him to drive.
Well, in that case, let me see your license.
Now, wait a minute. Let's not get nosy, officer.
Come on. Somebody's got to have a license.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I just haven't got a license.
No, you see, he couldn't get a license because he's so nearsighted. The poor boy, he can't see more than 3 feet in front of him.
Well, and how in the world does he drive a car?
He just follows the radiator cap.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I'll tell you what I'll do.
What?
I'll let you off this time, but I want you to get a license.
Well, thank you very much, officer. I'll get one the first thing in the morning.
Say, that's darn nice of you, officer. Here, have a drink.
I never drink.
Oh, come on. Have a drink. It's good stuff. If you don't believe me, smell his breath.
Oh, drunk driving, huh? Do you realize you can get a year in jail for taking just one drink?
A year in jail for just one drink?
That's right. How many drinks has your friend had?
I don't know. But I think you better give him a rate.
Yes, sir. You can get thrown in jail for drinking in your car.
Oh, well, then that's different.
What do you mean?
This isn't his car.
Oh, no? Well, whose is it then?
Oh, some guy who stepped in a drugstore with the motor running for a short coke.
I see a stolen car.
Oh, yeah, but don't worry. He didn't steal it in this state.
Did you drive it over the state line?
We didn't fly it in.
Well, then, that's a federal case.
Is that better?
Come on, now. Come on, boys. I got to take you down to the police station.
Now, wait a minute, bub. Call a wagon. You ain't riding in this car.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Red. Take it easy.
Come on, move over.
Look, we're taxpayers, bub. Call a wagon and make it number two. The springs are better.
Listen, for 2 cents, I'd punch you right in the nose.
Oh, you would, huh? Well, here's 2 cents, and I'd like to see you do it. Well, do I get a receipt?
Thank you. The policeman that has the toughest life is the desk sergeant. Look, I'll show you what I mean. I'll be the desk sergeant this time.
Come on, get in there.
You can't do this to me. Please let me go. You ain't got no warrant. You ain't got no habeas corpus. You ain't even got a temporary disjunction.
No, but we got you, bud. Let go of him, officer. Name, please.
Smith. Wonderful Smith.
Wonderful Smith? Is that your real name?
Yes, sir. My name is Wonderful. I got two brothers, Colossal and Terrific. And my sister, Stupendous. And the baby, Not Bad.
What happened there?
We moved out of Hollywood.
Well, Wonderful, what do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Let me see. What else have you?
Well, fella, it looks like I'm going to have to put you in jail.
Can I call my lawyer?
Yeah, but don't use that phone. Use the pay phone over there.
Thank you.
You put in a slug, didn't you?
Hello, operator. Give me number 15, ring 3, Washington, D.C.
Oh, your lawyer's in Washington.
Yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Wilkie? this is Wonderful Smith. You don't know me? Well, I'm the Wonderful from Hollywood. Maybe you've seen me in the pictures. What's that, Mr. Wilkie? You say you ain't never gonna see another movie in your life. What's my trouble? Well, sir, I bought a suit of clothes for a dollar down and a dollar a week. But the weeks are rolling round faster than my dollar. No, sir, I didn't buy the suit of my own free will. I was walking down Main Street, and that's all I remember. You say you can't help me now? You got to go over and see Congress in session. What's that? Congress? Oh, yes, sir, I know what Congress is. That's bingo with billions.
Well, is he going to help you out, fella?
No, sir. Do you know anybody who wants to buy an old Wilkie button?
Playing our version of Swinging on the Golden Gate.
Listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Red.
Yes, Harriet?
I didn't know you were so well misinformed about the police force.
Oh. Well, you know, I used to have a private detective agency. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
I'll never forget my first case. Hello, Skelton Detective Agency.
Say, I'd like to have some protection. I have a feeling I'm going to be shot.
What makes you think so?
My wife is standing in front of me with a dirty look and a gun.
Well, I'll be right over. Where do you live?
On Sepulveda Boulevard.
Sepulveda Boulevard. How do you spell that, Bud?
S.
S.
E.
E.
P.
P.
U.
U.
L.
L. Ah, it's too bad. If you lived on Vine Street, we could have saved you. Well, good morning there, Detective Bradley.
Hello, Chief. Sorry I'm late. Been out with my girl.
Say, you still running around with Big Nose Annie?
Oh, Chief. Her nose ain't so big.
Oh, no? Then why does she keep it in a holster? Oh, I've really had a tough day today.
You know, Skelton, you're really a great detective.
Yeah, you know, I'm known as the human bloodhound. The human bloodhound.
Well, don't stand there wagging your tail.
Mr. Bradley!
Well, anyway, I admire you, Chief. You know, you're fearless. Absolutely fearless.
Yeah, I think of nothing of walking into a Hollywood nightclub with just a bayonet. I'll take that. Hello? Skelton Detective Agency.
Sorry to disturb you, but could you come right over?
Why, sure. Something happened?
Yes.
Why?
Murder.
Murder? I'll be over there before you can say Jack Robinson. Did anybody say it? Well, this looks like the house. I'll press this doorbell.
You rang, sir? You rang the bell?
It's a good thing you changed that.
Let's start again, huh?
You rang the bell?
No, we haven't been in Hollywood long enough.
Gentlemen.
Oh, wait a minute. Who are you? And give three reasons.
My name is Horton, sir. Martin Horton.
Martin Horton?
Yes, sir. Martin Horton.
Martin Horton.
Martin Horton.
Looks like we're on a dead-end street.
I'm the murdered man's butler, sir.
Oh, well, hold on there. How do you know he's dead?
Well, he's sitting in a chair and he ain't made a move for 3 days.
Well, maybe he's playing chess.
Not unless you're playing it with a knife stuck in your back.
Hey, Red, what was that? Some lady just got a seat on the Sunset bus. Somebody came in.
Who is this person, Horton, and what is he doing here?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. What'd you send for me for? I'm detective.
It's Grandpapa. He's disappeared. He left the house 5 years ago to get a double malted.
What kept him so long?
He likes them thick.
Well, I'll take a look around the room.
Why don't you look in this room, Mr. Sheldon?
It's Skelton. Me. Wait a minute.
It's real dark in there.
Yeah, you think I'm scared, huh? Well, I'll look in that room. Say, it is dark in here. Hey, there's somebody in there. Hey, come out of there. Come out of there, I say. Are you going to come out of there, or am I going to have to run for my life?
Hey, the lights went out.
Yeah, sure is dark in here, isn't it?
Hey, Skelton, stop whistling in the dark.
Huh?
I said stop whistling in the dark.
They can't. It's already been released. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Morton, take us into the living room.
Yes, sir. I'll follow you.
Detective Skelton.
Yes?
We must dismiss you from the case. Grandpapa is dead.
Are you sure he's dead?
Yes, he's dead. Here's a picture of Grandpa that was taken when he was 12 years old. Look.
Let me see. Yeah, he's dead, all right.
Hello, everybody. What's cooking?
Who's this?
Why, it's Grandpa.
Grandpa! Where you been?
Down to the drugstore on Hollywood and Vine Street.
Oh, wait a minute. That was 5 years ago. What kept you so long?
I couldn't find a place to park the car.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're a little late. Thanks a lot. We hope you've enjoyed our show.
Good night, Red. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
From October of 1941, The Red Skeleton Show. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for, but that's all right. We'll be back again next week at this time. Hope you'll make it a point to join us and tell your friends about the best of the golden age of radio right here every week on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts saying so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination.